For this devotional, I'm taking my text from John chapter 15 and verse 5. I'm reading from the King James Version. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant blessing to the reading of his holy truth. And tonight's devotional is called Abiding Unto Fruitfulness. Now, this verse has two important parts. The first part tells us that without Christ, apart from Jesus Christ, we are nothing. While the second part tells us that without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. While we'll focus on the second part tonight, a brief word about the first. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, Jesus is the true vine, according to chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And as he refers to himself as the true vine, the vine from the Greek word that is a coiling vine, a vine that is a tender vine that clings to a tree or trellis. We who believe in Christ are but shoots or sprigs. When it says branch, it's not talking about the limb of a tree. It's talking about the shoot or a sprig that comes from a vine, a tender vine. And if we are but shoots or sprigs, we are merely kindling when once we've dried out and we are without Christ. If we are without Christ, then as shoots or sprigs, you know, we're not useful for anything except for kindling. Now, notice Jesus didn't say, I am the root, you are the tree. Neither did he say, I am the tree, and you are a sturdy limb. I'm the vine, and you are the branches or shoots or sprigs, sprouts from that vine. Now, on the second part, which is our primary focus, it says, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, our old friend, our dear friend, Mr. Charles Spurgeon, had this to say concerning this verse in a message that he preached on October 21st, 1881. He says this, quote, this is not the language of a man of ordinary mold. No saint, no prophet, no apostle would ever have addressed a company of faithful men and have said to them, without me, you can do nothing. Had Jesus Christ been, as some say, a good man and nothing more, such language as this would have been unseemly and inconsistent. End quote. Now, for this verse, the second part of this verse in particular, I want to touch on five simple truths that this verse expresses. Five truths, and the devotion itself will only take maybe another 12 minutes. It's a 15-minute devotional of these five truths, and we won't spend a lot of time on them, but here they are. Number one, an evidence of God's grace in Christ. Number two, an exhortation of responsibility to God in Christ. Number three, an expression of caution from God in Christ. Number four, an encouragement for cleaving and communing with God in Christ. And number five, an exaltation of God in Christ for his goodness. Now, the first one, an evidence of God's grace in Christ. Now, grace that doesn't transform our lives isn't biblical saving grace. Grace, I'm going to say that again, grace that doesn't transform our lives isn't biblical or saving grace. A regenerate life is a changed life with clear evidence. A little earlier than what we're seeing here, as Jesus is speaking to his disciples on the night he was betrayed in John chapter 15. Just a few chapters before that, in John chapter 13 and verse 35, Jesus said, by this shall all men know, in the King James Version. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And this relate, how does this relate to fruit? Well, it's an evidence of our faith. All men will know. Shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another? A supernatural love. It's the agape love that comes from God and is a fruit of the Spirit, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so as a fruit of the Spirit, this is the evidence that transformation has taken place, actual regeneration, that we are new creations or new creatures in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, otherwise a mere assent to believing in Christ without a transformation is the faith of devils, James chapter 2 and verse 19. Thou believest God is one, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Number two, this verse is an exhortation of responsibility to God in Christ. It's an exhortation of responsibility to God in Christ. When we hear Jesus say, abide in me and I in you, for without me you can do nothing. And you'll bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. As Christ abides in us, we are responsible likewise to abide in him. The verse just previous to the one we're looking at, John 15 and verse 5, in John 15 and verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, or the sprig, the sprout, cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. So he gives an illustration of this vine, this and the sprig, the sprout, the branch, and it can't bear fruit if it's all by itself. Like I said, it's nothing more than mere kindling. But he says, and likewise can you not. Unless you're abiding in Christ, you'll bear no fruit. That's what he says. The reality of a transformed life begets an active, not passive, faith. Now, let me say that again. The reality of a transformed life begets or gives birth to an active faith, not a passive faith. In other words, our faith is consciously abiding. What does that mean, to abide? I mean, we should understand it. To abide in Christ is to be living for Christ, exalting Christ, trusting Christ, depending upon Christ Jesus in all things, whatever we do. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Plain, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So it is active and listening to Christ and doing and what he says, and keeping his commandments. Number three, this verse is an expression of caution from God in Christ. It's an expression of caution from God in Christ. Now, see, in his words, the Lord Jesus warns us against faithlessness, fruitlessness. He warns us against being fruitless. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and therefore if it's not active within our lives, believing and trusting, depending, abiding in Christ by faith, then it is sin and it is fruitless. What it does is we will have a tendency toward idolatry. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. This is a way of saying basically idolatry. Pride, the pride of life. Pride is basically self-idolatry. The lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes. It's plain out idolatry. Anything that is equal to or greater than the Lord Jesus Christ, that's idolatry. It's the second commandment that we are not to commit idolatry. And adultery is just impure idolatry. Idolatry is the root sin and cause for all other sins. Number four, this verse is an encouragement for cleaving and communing with God in Christ. This verse is an encouragement for cleaving and communing with God in Christ. Since it's true that we can wander from Christ in our hearts and minds, we must pray for Christ to strengthen our faith. That's part of the abiding. Our dependence is upon Him. The life-giving sap of the vine going to the sprigs and the sprouts to the branch in order for it to bear fruit. We must be strengthened and nourished in the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. So we pray to Him. As Ephesians chapter 6 and verse, we pray to God in Christ, in the name of Christ. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We don't produce the fruit on our own. It is within the abiding life that comes from being connected to the vine as we are the branch. Number five, the fifth thing that we'll just close with on this, and there's certainly much more to this verse, but as a brief devotional, we consider that number five is an exaltation. This verse tells is an exaltation of God in Christ for His goodness. It's an exaltation of God in Christ for God's goodness. We thank God for His wisdom and goodness in Christ, that without Christ we can do nothing. For if we could do anything apart from the power and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sinful flesh would attempt to do so. Let me give you a quote from, again, from our old friend Mr. Spurgeon. Mr. Spurgeon says this, quote, I feel so glad that without Christ we can do nothing, because I fear that if the church could do something without Christ, she would try to live without Him, end quote. That is so true. So when we recognize that this is by God's wisdom, this is the blessing to be dependent upon Christ, to trust Christ, to be living for Christ and exalting Christ alone for God's glory. This is the blessing for us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You see, Jesus Christ is everything. And if we have not Jesus Christ, we have nothing. And that somewhat sums up everything of the first part, the second part, and then all of it in conclusion. Because the first part tells us that apart from Jesus Christ, without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. And that apart from Jesus Christ, without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And that Jesus Christ is truly everything. He is everything. And if we don't have Jesus Christ, we have nothing. So I hope you're encouraged by that devotional today. Let's close it in prayer. Our most blessed and gracious Father and God, in Jesus' name and for His sake, we come before You, Lord, and thank You so much for the blessed truth of the abiding life. May we abide richly in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the vine, and we are but the branches, the sprigs, the sprouts. May we receive the life-giving sap of the vine, the precious blood that was spilled from Jesus' side, that we may be refreshed, that we may be nourished, that we may be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we pray for their situation that is going on this right now, and why we have to do these broadcasts like this and not be gathering together as we normally would. But we pray, Father, that You'll bring resolution through this coronavirus, that, Lord, that Your will and Your plans and Your purposes will take place for Your glory, for Christ's exaltation, that You'll move and minister unto souls. We pray for wisdom for our governor, Governor Dunleavy and his administration, Dr. Zenk, and all those that are moving forward and putting out directives for us for the safety of all Alaskans. We pray, Father, for our president. We pray, Father, in his administration. We pray, Father, that those governors in other states that are dealing with those things, and likewise with us. And we pray, Father, for those leaders and heads of state all over the world, because this is worldwide. But we pray, Father, that because of this tribulation and these trials, this difficulty that we're going through, that eyes may be upon you, not only those that believe. Our eyes should be upon you always, Lord, but also it may give pause for those who do not know you, and that Christ may be exalted in their lives, that we may have one more voice lifting up praise and glory unto the blessed truth of who Christ is and what he has done. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.